Pickaxe.
Hello, I'm Wheels, the Dungeon Master for Storybreakers. Love Critical Role in movies like Hot Fuzz and Spotlight? Actual play series Storybreakers combines the fantasy adventure of Dungeons & Dragons with small-town comedy and mystery in an episodic tale of journalists on the hunt for the secret underbelly of a tiny town where nothing seems to happen.
But excuse me if I don't think a bunch of ragtag journalists from a podunk town are actually going to be of any help.
But technically, I don't come from here.
When the mysterious arrival of a celebrity from the Heroes and Adventurers Guild sets off a strange conspiracy, the group will have to leave what they think they know about the world at the door if they're ever to unravel the truth at the heart of this seemingly nondescript town.
It's not front page of the Sasai Star. No.
I pull up the today's like installment of the news to see what the front page actually is.
There's a big picture of a pumpkin that's been stepped on, and it says, "Outrage as pumpkin stepped on."
Storybreaker Season 1 in its entirety is available for listening right now wherever you get your podcasts, with Season 2 on the way. Find out more at dicebreaker.com.
Hello and welcome to Zero Degrees, the podcast with no qualifications where we solve your complications. I'm Harry and I'm joined by Lydia and Rouse. How are you guys doing?
Hello, hello, hello.
Are we ready to ask some questions? Are we feeling energized? Are we feeling intellectual?
Yeah, I'm excited. I've been sitting in bed all day thinking about, like, just, you know, trying to help people in my life. So
This is the perfect means to do it.
No, normally I'm just crying, so you know, this is like a real difference.
This is not only helping all of our listeners, but this is helping Ravs and very sad existence.
Poor so, Ravs. Come on, send him a nice question for Ravs.
He needs it. Mm-hmm. He's fucking...
I cried at a dog on TikTok earlier, so you know I'm good to go. Man.
What was the dog doing?
It was just a dog lying in a garden.
Ravs is down bad. Ravs is down.
Ravs is not doing good
bad
at the moment.
Yep.
Was that a hangover cry though? Was it like
a tiny bit?
Like I'm feeling rough. I'm very emotional right now.
Do you guys find yourselves crying a lot? Are you big criers?
If a game or a movie or a song like touches me, then yeah,
you need to be like prompted by like some content or something.
Yeah, something needs to prompt me. I don't just burst into tears. I need content to cry.
See, I'm the opposite. Content doesn't really make me cry. Like, I don't ever really cry at like songs or TVs or games or anything like that. But I am I'm a very emotional crier. I cry when I'm stressed. I cry when I'm tired, like angry or sad. You know, I'm like a very emotional crier.
Yeah, I feel like I don't cry at like books or TVs, shows or anything. But I find like weirdly my thoughts will suddenly like get me really sad. You know what I mean? Like, I was just thinking about something like, really fucking sad, like, oh, what if someone I love died? And it's like, and then I'm just like, oh my god, that is be like terrible. And then I'm just like
out of the blue.
Yeah, just random fucking little sad thoughts. What a lovely positive way to start the podcast.
Yeah, this is a really like lovely bright way to start. Right.
You know what? I feel like we need a fun, silly question to cheer us up. Right?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Okay, all right, let's get into it then. Question says, my wife and I can't agree. Is werewolf sex considered bestiality? I say yes. She says no. I think yes because they are literally beasts, but she says they're monsters. Ignore the ethical consent side, obviously. Obviously werewolves consent.
Obviously.
If their big werewolf doggy cock is out, then they're probably down to clown.
I mean,
so...
Okay. Go,
take it. Well, so the writer in is arguing that, so it's like you're having sex with a wolf, like a, you know, a dog wolf, like that is animal penis that you're having sex with.
Well, a werewolf though.
That's so interesting, because I was thinking about it as two werewolves together.
Oh, no, I think you're a human and you're having sex with the werewolf.
Yeah, that's why they're asking, is it bestiality? Because if it's just two werewolves fucking, then it's just, you know...
That's just good times.
Yeah, but is that bestiality? Being a werewolf is being both the human and the wolf, right? Because what if the werewolf is in human form and then fucks the werewolf in non-human form? Is that bestiality?
If the werewolf is... in human form and the, wait, what?
Because werewolves are I'm not being an idiot here, right?
When the moon is full moon, like 3 days of the month, they turn into a big beastie.
Yeah.
If Buffy the Vampire Slayer has taught me anything.
But they are humans, like in other times. Yeah. Would you call them a human or would you still call them a werewolf?
I think they're human, and then
I think I would still say they're a werewolf. If they transform into, if they have the ability to transform into a werewolf, they're just, even in their human form, they're a werewolf.
Oh, see, I disagree. I think when they're human, they're human.
Yeah, do you know, I think they lose the name werewolf when they're human.
But they have the curse of lycanthropy, though, you know? That's like, yeah, makes them the wolfy.
Okay, that's really, okay, so what are we saying the question is? We're saying the question is, right now, you as an individual, Lydia, Harry, or Ravs, you're going to have sex with a werewolf, and it's going to be in transformed mode?
Yes. Is that so we are human, and they are beastie werewolf, and we're fucking. Yeah. Is that bestiality or not?
I think yes. I think that if the werewolf has a big wolf penis, then that, and they're a big furry animal.
What I like is Ravs would get all of the way. He'd get all the way to being undressed, and then he'd see the. He makes the choice at the penis. He doesn't decide before. He's not like, it's no philosophical thought. It's just like, I see the cocker, and I rock it or I don't.
Yeah, but okay, even if it's a female werewolf and I'm hitting up that sweet wolf pussy.
What happens then?
I still think wussy. That's some, yeah, if I'm hitting up that like furry wussy, then like I still think that's bestiality. I think it's like still an animal. It's like a beast, you know, like sure it was a human, but I think that, you know, the fur that's involved, it's got fucking, it looks like a wolf. It's a werewolf, man. That's bestiality for sure.
I'm going to argue the other side and say I don't think it's bestiality.
No.
Even if it's got a big wolf penis or that sweet wussy.
I agree with the wife who says that it's more of a monster. It's more like a supernatural. It's not like an animal. It's like a mythical monster. Like, you know, it's like we all got dreams about fucking amazing mythical creatures. Let's not label it bestiality. Let's
allow that one to slide, Ravs. You're going to let that one slide? We're just going to allow it. It's called good friend. This is a good friend moment. Yeah, yes, Lydia. Dreaming of that.
I always wanted to fuck the phoenix. Oh my God. I want it to burn my flesh.
You know, put the horn in my bum, please. These are my dreams, yes.
What do you think, Harry? We've got either side with me and Ravs. What do you fall on?
I feel like I'm more.
Do you fall on the wolf dick?
I don't know if that's a statement I can legally get behind. The thing is, I feel like I imagine werewolves as more anthropomorphized kind of human-esque figures. But I don't think of werewolves as like people that turn into wolves. I think of them more as like these weird wolf man. Do you know what I mean? They're like, I imagine a werewolf stands on its hind legs and maybe occasionally gallops on all fours. But I don't see it as a wolf. Because I'm just thinking like Twilight, right? Like in Twilight, they turn into like wolves. They're basically big, like kind of dire wolves, right?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't really call that that is a werewolf, but it's not like a were. Wait,
he is a werewolf though, isn't he? That's the whole thing,
is the
right?
Form you imagine just like Tom Clark?
Yeah, I imagine like, Tom Clark. Yeah. Tom Clark, it looks like what a werewolf should look like pre-transformation. And then when he transforms, he just like grows a bit of hair. The belly pops out a little bit
extra,
and then like maybe you see a little bit more ass. Like, I feel like for me, werewolves are like more humanoid. They walk around on their hind legs, like kind of like what we do in the shadows, kind of.
Okay,
werewolves.
Yeah.
Like, and thus I feel like it's not bestiality because it's more humanoid. I feel like if they were on all fours, it would be weird. The on all fours bit is weird for me. That's my line.
That's fair. I think it depends on the media you're thinking of. Like, so many different things have represented werewolves in different ways. Like, some of them, like you said, will be a lot more humanoid and running around on their legs and be a lot more like coherent and stuff. And some of them have werewolves as just these like literally like dogs running around in the forest howling at the moon.
You're doing an illegality. That's not good. You can't do that.
Yeah. It kind of depends what werewolf we're kind of thinking of, I guess.
This has really made me think, is like, if you bang a vampire, is that like necrophilia? You know?
True.
Because they're technically dead.
They are. Bella?
They are the living undead, right?
Like, Bella was doing that necrophilia.
But why are they so hot though? You know?
Why they got to be so sexy? If it's why are vampires so hot? It's not fair. I've never thought about that, Raz, but that makes a really good point, actually. They are dead, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, they're dead.
So I'm interested, though. So, Raz, Lydia, you think it isn't bestiality under the circumstances? Raz, I think it is.
Definitely is. I think it definitely is.
Can I pose you, Raz, my altered version of the question? What if a werewolf in human form fucks a werewolf in non-human form? Is that bestiality?
Fucks a werewolf in non-human. So okay, I think that even the werewolf in human form, is still a werewolf. Therefore, it's just two werewolves fucking. Therefore, I think that that's fine, and it's just the part of the circle of life. It's just nature, baby. That's just two of the same species fucking in a little bit of a different form. Mm-hmm. But if you're a human and you're not a werewolf and you fuck a transformed werewolf, then that's bestiality.
What if it's a human fucking a werewolf in its human form?
Yep. That's the next question. That's the next question.
Is that okay? Mm. Is that bestiality?
With
your laws and your rules, Raz?
Oh, look at Raz. Oh, I've thought it all out. I've got it all figured out. No, you haven't. You haven't got it figured out at all.
Okay, then you could probably get away with that one. I think you could get away with that one. That's probably not bestiality, but just, you know, make sure it's not a full moon when you're fucking.
Be careful.
That's going to be a very weird one.
If you have sex with a centaur who is like human head, human rippling abs, beautiful body.
Are you asking what part of the centaur the dick comes out of?
Well, okay. Is that bestiality? Yeah. And you're chatting and you're kissing and it's very human, but then actually it is a big fat horse dick.
Oh, I mean, well, firstly, I probably would die. Like,
yeah.
All right, sorry, it's a hussy. It's a hussy. Okay. Yeah.
I'm gonna die in that hussy then.
Beat that hussy up.
That's certainly bestiality. That is a horse.
But then the human part is like, no, babe. I am no. This isn't. It's fine. Ignore that bit down there.
The thing is, I wouldn't even be able to run away. The horse's bit is quick.
I'd be like, after you. Running. Okay, what if it is the human bottom with a horse?
It's a reverse senti. It's like Bojack. Would you fuck Bojack Horseman? Is what you just asked me.
Is that, and the answer is,
of course I would. That'd be amazing.
But is it bestiality though?
I think yes. I think absolutely yes.
Raz won't let people live how they want to live, basically. Raz is against people doing what they want to do.
If it has a brain that is like a human brain and it can understand and it can consent, then...
No, that's not the part I have a problem with. The part I have a problem with is it has a massive horse cock.
Yeah, but okay, now I feel like you're judging people with massive penises or who are very hairy.
I'm just jealous, okay?
I feel like this is spun out. What is like? Okay, if you could fuck a fantasy creature or a mythological creature, which one? Which creature are you fucking?
I'm going vampire, man, straight up.
Why are you so cold?
It's a very boring answer, but you know, I know, but they'd bite me and shit.
So you want to be a vampire? You want to fuck a vampire or be a vampire?
A bit of both.
Some rough times with a vampire. Okay, Lydia, you got one?
Obviously, like, a vampire is the kind of go-to. I grew up obsessed with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I regularly wanted to absolutely rail Spike and Angel and just ruin them both. So, it's obviously, I'm thinking about...
Back to the question, anyway. Sorry, guys.
I want to say vampire because they will fit as fuck, but I want to be more interesting, but everything else feels a bit kind of... Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to pick something which isn't animal-like right now after this conversation.
I just typed in Google, not even in safe search, because I'm a fucking fiend.
Because you're on a list already. It's fine.
Most fuckable fantasy creatures. Mm-hmm. And at the top of the list, someone has said ghost. Which I'm just like, what the fuck?
True, but it's most human-like, right?
Casper did be looking nice, though.
God damn.
Oh, I know who I'd fuck. I've just been watching the extended versions of Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh. And... You want to say they're fucking King of the Undead?
that ghost man was very nice.
You can't just say Aragorn.
No. That's cheating. The elves, though. I think elves are hot.
I didn't know we could put elves in here. I thought we were talking about monsters.
Yeah, elves does feel like...
That's a mythical creature.
I'll take an elven vampire. I'll leave it out.
This isn't like design your perfect fuck, guys. This is like you have to settle for like fucking, I don't know, like a fucking spider.
The Yeti.
Demon. This isn't meant to be like, oh, I want to have sex with a perfectly beautiful elf lady with vampires. And
wait, she... Harry, you said spider real quick there. Are you thinking about Quaelag from Dark Souls?
A little bit of Shelob.
Do you know Quaelag, Lydia?
No.
Quaelag, I mean, as long as I just keep my eyes above, it would be fine.
I'm going to look Quaelag. What is its name?
Q-U-E-L-A-A-G. Oh, and I'm going to images.
That one. Yeah, I don't. I was thinking, honestly, I think I might fuck a dragon.
Oh, that's a bold choice. I want to shrek it up.
Assert dominance over like the most powerful creature. It's your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, right?
What type of dragon, though, Harry?
Just the biggest fucking dragon. Like, just me there plowing dick in this to this ginormous mile-long dragon. It's fucking like a cave going town. I'm just climbing inside.
Like, just standing inside.
I'm just standing in there.
And thrusting the air.
That is such horrible material.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what I choose. I'm sorry, yeah. But like, imagine the clout, okay? All of us come back to the pub. Oh, what did you fuck? Oh, Raz. Oh, you fucked a fucking
I'm fucking
elf
bleeding
vampire.
Out of my neck. Like, yeah. I'm a vampire now, guys.
Oh, fuck. Harry, what did you fuck? I fucking stood inside of a dragon's vagina.
Is it, when you say dragon, I'm trying to envision this romantic scene. Is it like just a big fuck off, like green, scaly, like we're thinking about like Shrek, like that dragon in that? Are you thinking about something a bit more sexy, a bit more ladylike? Like,
Lydia, I think you're failing. You're missing the point. I don't give a fuck what it looks like. Right, I just want to fuck the biggest dragon.
The biggest. Okay.
Size is what the scaler that I'm into. Size. You know, it could be. It could be like a rotted dragon. I don't care.
Rotted?
Yeah,
excuse
I could. I want the biggest dragon. It could be a skeletal dragon.
It could be called like Borgoff the Rotlord, and you're like, damn, let me get in there.
The gaping dragon. Climbing inside the gaping dragon. Jesus.
Okay.
What about you then, Lydia? Come on then.
Well, mine was shit, weren't they? Mine's just like elf or. Wait.
You want to fuck a sexy elf, man?
Lydia's going to one up us here and be like, a mummy. Some shit.
Okay, so I'm Googling like sexiest monsters. I'm seeing a lot of tits. I'm seeing a lot of anime tits. What are we defining as a monster? It's like zombie?
Like mythological. I think we were doing like mythological creatures, weren't we? Kind of like mythological creatures. Like a mermaid. I mean, honestly, mermaid would probably be my second pick.
Mermaids are deep. They are hot.
You got to find out.
But they might just be like, you know, you're probably thinking like the Little Mermaid and thinking everyone's going to be Gucci. What if it's like an absolutely horrifying like sea hag?
I'm in this for experiences, Rav. So I'm not in here for a good time. Fair. I'm here for an experience.
Fair. You want to like swim around in the shape of water shit? Fair enough.
What about Lydia? What about like a giant cyclops? like a fucking 200 meter tall cyclops boy.
I don't think I'd be walking out of that alive, you know?
No. I don't. That's not the knee. That's not, it's nothing to do with the leg injury.
I just think I wouldn't exist anymore after that.
Oh, like a Medusa is a fun option.
Oh, you couldn't look her in the eyes though, would you? Definitely.
Yeah, you'd be like fucking close your just eyes. Avoiding.
What about, oh, I'm looking at, they're giving me sexy things. Can I include Jack Skellington from The Nightmare Before Christmas? Because I think I do actually have a crush on him.
What the fuck?
He's kind of my type, I don't know.
Sure, you know what, I'll allow it.
Yeah? Okay, thank you.
I'll allow it, you'll get Jack Skellington. I mean, Rav's got a fucking vampire elf. Like, I mean...
That's cheating. Everyone knows that's the hottest thing that's ever existed.
That you literally just like, I just take the two hottest things and I want to do a hot fuck. All right.
Well, you know, I was content with just vampire, but when I knew elves were available, I had to combine the two.
Yeah.
So in the end, with what do we say to this question? Ravs is bestiality.
Yeah.
And also, what are you doing? Bestiality. And Harry is...
I have to agree with him just because I don't want to piss off the listener. You know, I don't want to just be like, you know, if we suddenly say that, you know, his wife's right, and then oh no, and then there's an argument. You know, I don't want to cause any. I don't want to home wreck so early on into the podcast's career. We can't start home wrecking. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, sure. It's bestiality. Sure.
This is a good sound clip. So Ravs and Harry is bestiality and Lydia is not bestiality.
No. Don't isolate that.
Provide context for that
That's
clip.
That's enough context. Moving on.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
All right, next question is, recently found out from my parents that my bloodline is cursed on my mother's side. Every generation, a fair-haired child has good fortune and a dark-haired child has bad fortune. Is there any way of lifting this curse without knowing how and why it originated? They seem reluctant to discuss it further, and I've no other means of gathering information on it, as it's that side of the family are all either dead, excommunicated, or otherwise unreachable.
This is a crazy question.
This is crazy.
This is crazy.
I need to read it again to just absorb it.
It's quite a lot. It's a lot of question.
This is a crazy question, and I think that it's the family that's crazy, and I'm assuming this is written from the perspective of the dark-haired child who probably bears this curse.
Didn't specify what colour hair they have.
Yeah, but I think that they probably are the dark-haired child and they want out of this curse, and I'm going to tell you that maybe just avoid these people and find other people, and I bet you'll have a happy life because they sound fucking crazy.
It's got to be dark haired, right? Otherwise, they'd be like, "Yes, found out about this sick curse."
What if they're ginger?
Yeah.
What if they're ginger? Ooh. What if they're like the lucky? I mean, I honestly feel like you're magic. If you're ginger in this family and you're like no longer fair hair or dark hair.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're in between.
I don't. It's such a good question. I don't know what you should do. Like,
because they're saying, is there any way of lifting this curse? They wouldn't want to lift it if they were the fair haired child. They'd be like, bring on the curse, baby. Good fortune coming my way.
Also, what bad fortune is that? Like, how serious is this? Is it like, you know, you break your arm, or you know, you lose all your money, or is it like just small inconveniences, like, oh, the toilet paper got put on the wrong way round? Like, how bad is like the curse? Because if it's honestly not that bad, maybe it's just a funny way to live your life.
I feel like the fact that they want to lift it and they seem quite concerned about it means that it's pretty bad. I'm going to assume that this is bad fucking shit goes down if you're the dark haired child. And the fact that none of the family want to discuss it is probably because it's like, you know, it's some serious shit going down and they just don't even want to talk about it. Cause it, you know what I mean? I'm imagining imagine this is some dark shit going down.
I just hard don't believe in this shit, and I just think that the family is crazy.
Just like,
and
you're fucking lying. Stop lying.
No. I think that, you know, their family probably believes that. I think that this is from the dark haired child. Mm-hmm. Their family are a bunch of fucking witches and Wiccans and shit. No disrespect to you if you're a Wiccan, but I don't believe this shit. And I would say ignore them if they tell you you're cursed and just live your life. Live your best life. The fact that people are excommunicated is just like, that's kind of weird for a family thing. It sounds almost like a cult.
Also, I like the dead was the first listing they'd put of like, so what's happened to the family? They're dead.
Well,
the cursed family's dead.
That's what I'm thinking. Are these family members dead, excommunicated, or otherwise unreachable because they were the dark-haired child? Like, you know, like I'm imagining this is just making me think of a movie, right? Like, I don't know. I'm feeling this as a blockbuster. Uh-huh. I believe in this curse. Uh-huh. I think this is real. You've got the classic Ravs character, who's the naysayer, doesn't believe it's true. Mm-hmm. You'll die first, Ravs.
Yeah, okay.
You'll die first. I mean, yeah. You do have dark hair. You will die first. As a believer, I will be living to the end. I say, if this was a movie, you need to go to the library, and you know when they look up those ye olde like newspapers on those machines where they like slide through
with the
different
magnifiers. Yeah,
magnifiers. I think you've got to do that, because that feels like that would be the next bit in the movie to try and find out the origins of the curse.
But then you've all but given up, and you're going to put the slides back, but you accidentally knock over another folder, and it's your family's name is there, and you put that in the slide, and you find out the truth.
No. There we go. But then you get to the bit, which is the article, and someone's cut it out, and it's not there anymore. But there is a name of a caretaker who lives in the woods,
and he's crazy,
but he knows more. Oh, come on, this is great. This stuff writes itself.
I wish they'd shared examples of things that had happened. I just so badly want to know more, because I don't believe in this stuff, but kind of like, I don't believe in ghosts, I don't believe in things like that, but I do believe that you can kind of self-fulfill these things. Do you know what I mean? If you believe these things happen, you will lead a life that makes these things happen.
What's it called? Manifesting, is that it?
You manifest
it for yourself.
What do? They say like, wealth will come to me, good things will come to me. Like you say, good manifestation.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. That's not how that works.
And that's meant to happen.
I mean, how do you even go about beginning to lift a curse?
Well,
I feel like you have to. This is literally the beginning of a quest. Like, this is like the beginning of a lifelong quest to lift this curse. Like, do you have to like do some weird like, to go to the birthplace of your mom's mother and sprinkle ashes of a sad man? I don't know. Does that work?
I think that.
But if you convince yourself that it works, will it work? Because again, I believe that it's all in your head.
I'm looking at WikiHow, four ways to reverse a curse.
Nice.
Number
What's it
one
saying?
Method is taking a salt bath.
Oh, okay.
Visualize positive energy flowing into the bath. After you finish your spell or prayer, imagine that a white light of positive energy is filling the water. Yep.
Okay,
no, this
all right.
Good. This is good.
I'm taking notes.
Recite a spell or pray before you get into the water. Close your eyes and hold your hands in prayer, pose, or over the water. Then say your purification spell or say a prayer asking for the negative energy to be removed from you.
That's what we need. We need to give them a prayer that they can do.
There's two examples here, but we could come up with our own. Okay. So here's the examples, okay? Here's a spell and a prayer. The spell is, salt and water make me pure. Bring me now the perfect cure. Let this water make me free. As I will, so mote it be.
Okay, that's kind of lame. Nice. Let's make our own one.
The prayer.
By make our own one, you mean I'm going to Google prayers to lift curses.
No. We've got to freestyle this ourselves, okay?
Oh, God.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
No. That's how we'll do it. We'll do one word each. We'll do one word each. Okay. So it's like past the sentence.
Okay.
Ravs is the truest believer. Do you want to forget us?
Okay. All right. Oh.
My.
God.
I.
Have.
Dark.
Fantasies.
Yes.
Very.
Dark.
I'm trying to describe this now, one sec. Very dark hair.
It's so.
What is this grammar in this prayer? Sorry. It's so dark.
Please.
Help.
My.
Need.
Some.
Curse.
Lifting.
Help.
My.
Grandson.
Give us a name, Lydia. What's the grandson name?
Yimmy.
Nice. Is
a
stupid
but
face.
What have we got so far?
Okay, let's just review the current prayer. The current prayer goes, oh my God, I have dark fantasy. Very dark hair. It's so dark. Please help. I need some curse lifting. Help. My grandson Yumi is stupid butt face.
Okay, so you just need to kneel over a bath, hold your hands over it, and recite those words 4 times at midnight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you can't find salt for the bath, you could try using...
Try using your tears. Just
Some tears or flour, or if you have instant cement, anything like that usually does the trick.
pour a couple kilos of flour just into your bath. I'm sure that'll go fine.
That'll be fine. Say that prayer. Start imagining the white goo coming out of you or whatever that thing said.
Yep.
And then, boom, I think that's the curse gone, baby. It's all gone.
Yep, I'm sure that's... Yep. Good
well
job.
Done, team.
Good job, team.
Call us the new Ghostbusters, curse baby, lifted. Because we are... Oh, we did
Zero
it.
Zero fucking degrees, boys. Zero
yes.
degrees.
Yes.
My God. Jesus. Good luck. Good luck to you. I don't know how you solve this fucking curse. Good luck. It's your curse, not my curse. Enjoy your curse. Fuck you.
I relate to this one. So, question reads, I struggle a lot with leaving things until the absolute last moment. How do I prevent such a brain-melting thing from happening? I feel this one so hard. I am such a procrastinator.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I feel like this is a very hard relate for a lot of people. Like, leaving things to the last minute, or even better, until that last minute's gone, and then you're actually in trouble, and you're really fucked over. Leaving it until then is sometimes even better, really.
I have this, but I feel like I just like train myself to not be stressed about it. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm just like, as long as I feel like I'm trying my best to do all the things, trying my best to live the life, I'm like, cool. It's happening. Life's happening. Mm-hmm. You can't be stressed on it. You can't be sad on it. Because it is, when you're constantly like, everything's happening at the last minute. Oh, no. It's very stressful. If you're just like procrastinating on things, like there are lots of ways to stop like procrastinating. But as long as also you're happy that you're procrastinating and you're accepting the consequences of that procrastination, Jared, I feel like there's like a level of mindfulness to be of like, if as long as everything's happening at the last minute and you're fine with that, fuck it.
It's not great. I feel like with procrastinating, like, God, it's the temptation just to always say, I'll just do this tomorrow for the rest of your life. Like, it's so, why is it so hard to just get, because you know that once you do it, you'll feel better because it's done and you don't have to worry about it anymore. But for some reason, the idea of doing something is so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. What would you say, Ravs? What's your kind of...
I'm really bad at leaving everything to the last minute and getting really stressed and overwhelmed, especially if I've got a lot going on. But I find I get such like a dopamine rush when I complete the task. You know what I mean? Like, I've been putting it off for so long, I've been so stressed about it, then I do it and then I get like, my brain's like, dopamine, you did the thing, good, even though it was super late, which I think is kind of like a almost addictive thing. It's like bad for me, it's a bad behavior. So I don't really know what the best advice is to fix it, because I'm dog shit at it.
I'd agree, like, that like dopamine hit is so good, because I feel like, I don't know about YouTube, but I feel like I'm someone who worked better on that, under that little bit more pressure, like that little bit of like, shit, it's got to be fucking done now. Well, it has to be done because it can't happen now otherwise. Like, I kind of like that. Like, that's kind of...
A little bit of pressure.
Fire like, up my be, ass, fucking get shit going. Like, and I think that is my brain saying, you know you can do it, and it's going to happen at the last minute, but it's going to happen. Like, as long as... I think it's just like the mental preparation of understanding what that process is like. I mean, it's not great. Again, like, I don't feel like this is like anyone who doesn't have this, I'm not like advising you to have this, like, I guess it's like a, because it does feel like it's just my brain. My brain just works like that. I don't know.
Do you guys feel the same? I like to be busy. I'll accept things even though when I know I'm busy, I'm like, oh, I could probably fit that in, I guess, because I don't want to say no to someone. And then I'm just like, okay, I'm going at 1,000,000 miles per hour, but I like that. I'm busy and I do a task. Feels good. I did the task.
As a practical bit of advice, I did hear about this technique of if you struggle to like manage doing tasks. And I can't remember what the technique is called, but I tried it out the other day and it actually did really help me. So I've been putting off changing my sheets for ages, basically. Mm-hmm. What a skanky, dirty little bitch. I had to keep changing them and I just kept putting it off, kind of thing. And then I was lying in bed and I was like, I need to change them. I'd woke up in the morning and I was like, I need to change the sheets. And I just kept thinking, oh, I can't be bothered. And then I said to myself, okay, it's 10 a.m. I will give myself 1 hour to get up, shower, change the sheets, and make some breakfast. I will get as much done in that hour. If I don't get something done, I don't get something done. Let's just try. I would, and then once I've done that, I'm allowed to go lie on the sofa and play like Rune Factory or whatever and watch The Simpsons. Like, that's my reward.
So you're making it into a game and a reward.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, how much can I get done? So I got up, immediately changed my sheets, had a shower, made my breakfast, sat down, and it was only like... It took like 40 minutes or 35 minutes. So I was like, God, is that all it took to do that? I've been putting off changing my sheets for days because I just kept thinking, and it actually in reality probably took me 10 minutes to do. Like, it was such a quick task to do. So I don't know, that helped me visualizing it in a, like, I have this amount of time to do it. And after that's done, I get a treat. That could be a helpful way of like, doing it. There's also other ways where, like, you say you work for 15 minutes and then you have 2 minutes where you're allowed to fuck around on your phone and then you can work for 15 minutes. Like, knowing that you have these very regular breaks where you can piss about for a bit. Like, there's definitely methods that you can do to kind of trick your brain into getting shit done. Mm-hmm. Because it is so easy when you have a lot going on in your life just to push stuff away and not want to tackle it.
Kind of shut down a little bit.
I'm overwhelmed with everything. Yeah. Just shut down. Like, I have
those,
that.
Those moments you can, like, it's the most common advice for it, but I find it works really well, is just writing lists.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I have, like, a fucking, you know, multiple massive fucking long, like, to-do list, notepad-esque things on my computer where I just write them down. Because I know a lot of things swirl around in my brain and I'm going to maybe forget something, or else you just... You know, it becomes a thing instead of just a thing that you're thinking about doing. It becomes a physical thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, physicality of it is really, really helpful.
Taking it out of your brain and putting it onto a list.
Yeah. I'm so bad at doing that. Like, I need to use a calendar app or something just to, or a notepad just to remind myself. But I've just not done it yet. Ugh.
I don't know. Like, doing stuff at the last moment, I do think that some people just like that. And some people just do it. Because then my dad's like that. And he's just he's constantly busy, but he is a last minute person. Like, when it comes to exams, me and him were just like, nope, don't work. Okay, cram the night before and it'll be fine. Like,
Oh my God, every year of school work was that for me.
Yeah.
Every homework was done like the day of or the day before.
And I'd have friends who would get shit done like immediately. They would be revising all throughout the year. They would do the homework when it got set. I do think sometimes it's just the way your brain works. Like, it's just, your brain's just built a bit differently.
It must be because I literally have tried to not be like this. Yeah, I can't. So, I don't know.
Yep.
I guess the question describes it as brain melting thing from happening. Like, I don't think you can. I think you can probably do bits to try.
Do you
and
guys
be more
get that? Do you guys? Because I know not everyone gets this. Do you get like the foggy brain feeling when you've got a lot going on? Like,
I genuinely
feel like, whoa, my brain.
Just
brain
overwhelmed.
Melt.
I think when there's so much. I think also when you're like, as an adult, there's just constantly so much that you have to be doing.
And
just
time
so
moves.
Much
and time
stuff.
Moves and the world
little bits and bobs.
Yeah, keeps passing by and it's fucking crazy. Do you know what I mean?
Even just little things like, fuck, I was meant to email that person. Oh, fuck, I was meant to do that. I was meant to return that to the post office. Oh, I was meant to do that. Like, tiny little things that just build up. And then, like, with your job and then all that building up. Like, I think it's completely understandable to just get overwhelmed with the amount of shit that you're supposed to remember and do on time.
But I think it's coping and dealing with the stress is like the main bit, because it's a fine thing to have happen to do things at the last minute, but it's not fine if you're either not doing them or you're getting horribly stressed and upset about how doing them last. Do you know what I mean? If it's causing you sadness because you're doing them last minute, that's probably not great. You probably need to like think about either changing how you're doing things or finding ways to like cope. I don't know.
I would definitely suggest looking up the stuff that I said about those methods of kind of training your brain to do stuff, and also what Harry said about the lists. I think those are definitely two things that can help. And they say that you have to do a habit so many times before it becomes like a instinctual thing.
Isn't it like 18 days or 20 days or something. You have to do like a thing before it forms a habit.
So just if you could say force yourself to do that for a month, you might find that maybe it, you know, things might change a bit.
You just being there just fucking reminded me of, I don't know if you guys did it at school, like we all had planners in secondary school, like to fucking fill out and shit. And I don't know why, I just like, I always hated planners. I hate that level of like pristine organization, because it doesn't feel like it gives freedom for things to move. And obviously things can't move. There's a set of planner, but like I feel like that's the bit that I didn't like about planners. But I used to write everything, every bit of homework, every date, any time. I would just write on my arm. My arm would just be like covered in like biro writings of like homework this day. And then I see that for like, you know, 2 to 3 days, it slowly washed off. And like that would just remind me, and I just know. And I'd just be like,
it's in my
brain. And it's in the brain juggle of like, you know, things that pass around in your brain. I don't know.
Oh, that's really interesting that you prefer to write it somewhere that would just kind of disappear than write it somewhere concrete.
Yeah, I guess that's maybe like my little bit of anxiety being like,
if you write it on your hand, you could call it your hand jobs as well, which is pretty good.
Hey, we got him. We got him.
But God, that just reminded me. Did you guys not write stuff on your arms as a kid? Just like,
no, I didn't.
Well, I had a planner which I wrote in.
Yeah, I was just, it was blue.
I was just like Mind Palace and forget.
Did you not have a planner at school?
I had the planner. I had the planner, but I never fucking wrote in it. Like,
oh right, yeah.
Yeah, it's just that. Like, shit was look at this fucking stupid book. Put it in my bag and never pulled out again.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I still had mine. I used to be good at writing in them, but.
Did you guys doodle in your columns a lot as a kid in your textbooks?
A little bit, but I'm not very artistically talented, so I'd just be fucking dog shit and I'd be discouraged because someone would show me
little
their
patterns
fucking
and stuff. I feel like
I would do little patterns.
I had a whole separate notebook that was my like drawing notebook where I would just genuinely draw pictures of Sonic and Tails in it. That's what I used it for.
Sorry, I feel like you didn't complete that sentence, Lydia. Sonic and Tails fucking, right?
No, Harry, I was a sweet, innocent 12-year-old, okay?
It wasn't until she started
watching
Naruto.
They were just kissing. They were just kissing.
You've changed.
By the time I hit college, damn, that's when it got filthy.
Damn,
it got dirty.
Do not want to accidentally hand in that notebook. Mr. Morris, no!
No!
What if he looks at it and he's like, fantastic work.
A star.
Exquisite artwork.
You have an A for maths.
Oh, God.
Fuck's sake. I feel like this is a hard one to give a definitive answer to, right? I feel like we've given some of our thoughts, which I think is as much as we can do. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm interested to hear what listeners think, though.
What's your tips?
Are we all alone in our last minuteism, or is it more common than maybe we think?
I think it is kind of quite common.
I think it's super common.
You certainly do have those like super organized friends who are super on it with everything, but I think a lot of people are quite last minute.
Yeah, I just remember me and my mate standing outside the school literally writing down our homework, like knowing that we were about to head into class, like outside the school at like 5 to 9, like, fuck.
I think I went away with some friends recently and we had like a WhatsApp group, and it was so clear how the group split into the organized brains and the non-organized brains. Like half of the group were making spreadsheets about what food we were going to buy, were planning things, were sending like links to stuff we were going to do, had already packed like a week beforehand. And then you have the other half, which I was a part of obviously, who were packing an hour before we left, who was just assuming that they were going to somehow find food once they got there, like just did not plan for anything. Like I think there is like a clear split.
Do you book your holidays and trips quite late as well, Lydia, or are you quite for planning on that?
I am, everything late. I am so disorganized.
Because that was something that I was thinking about recently, where I was like, I always like to do everything last minute, like booking holidays, and I'm saying we're packing, and I just fuck it, throw in a bag the night before, whatever. But it kind of sucks to not be able to look forward to things. Like, I always book trips away or things, like, at the last minute, like, a month or a week before.
I actually do that in advance. Like, if I know we're going somewhere, I want to be booked as early as possible, and I look forward to it. But I don't plan things to do when I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure where I lie on that spectrum. Like, you know, if I go away and I've got, like, a bunch of friends and they're split down the middle, the organized people and the lazy people, I'm like, maybe I just want to go chill with the lazy people and we'll just fucking dick around and do something. But also,
but then you don't want to do nothing. Do you know what I mean? There's like,
you don't want to do nothing
as
well.
There's a fear.
Yeah. So
you have to both be like super not planned, but very much engaged to like act. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I'm very happy to go away with zero plans. But then once I'm there, I'm like, okay, cool. We have to go do some shit. Like, we're going to make every minute of the day count.
We're all going to TwitchCon, right? And I know that there's some of our friends who are going to be very like, let's go do it to this cool thing and go to this cool place. And I know there's going to be the other friends that are just like, let's just go to a bar.
That's me!
I ain't looking up anywhere before we go.
Me either.
Cool, we'll find a place.
Like, if someone says, this place is cool, I'll be like, cool, let's go. But otherwise, I'll just do my usual lazy shit.
I'm just going to fucking just tag along with other people.
Yeah. Same here.
I'm going to tag along with you two. Wherever you guys go, I'll just go. But also, bring old Lily with you.
I don't know. I like having no plans because then it means you can just, if suddenly something amazing's happening, or there's a carnival on, there's no way you could have figured out that it was going to happen, or you find something there's no way you could have ever discovered by looking up beforehand. It means you're available to go and do it, and there's not this sudden like disappointment that the thing we planned doesn't happen. Like, I don't know, I love that freedom to just do whatever.
There's definitely a plus side to it as well.
But yeah, I feel like I want to hear from people. Tweet us, let us know what kind of person you are when it comes to last minute-isms.
Give us some stories.
Well, thank you very much for listening to Zero Degrees. Be sure to submit your questions through the link in the podcast description and leave us a little review if you've enjoyed. I've been Harry. How are you guys?
I've been Raz.
Episode? You enjoyed?
It's been very fun.
Good fun. Good. Thank you, Harry. Good fun.
Good, good. We hope you guys enjoyed listening at home. Make sure to give us some feedback. Let us know if you're liking the podcast. Quite far in, quite deep in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. No. Oh my God. Look, I can't believe it's already been so many episodes. Like, we're doing it.
We're doing a podcast,
Mum. I'm doing a podcast, Mum.
No, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.